Anyway, let's take phone calls. Number here is 209-2900. This is WBAI FM 99.5 in New York City. And our guest is Alexei Kondratiev. You're on the air. Well, I guess you're not on the air. You're on the air.
I was on the web at the DC Superstar Society Shazam quiz. And question number three says, Doctor, what are names of the three boys who can become the three Lieutenant of Marvels? Man, don't laugh, man. Let me finish. Choice B is Jay Zilber, Ken Gale, Mark Flynn. How you get your name on this, Mr. Gale?
That is
you
absolutely
write,
true.
Shazam?
That is absolutely true. I was one of the multiple choices for the three Lieutenant Marvels.
You ever write for? Did you write for Shazam? How you get your name on this?
No, I did not get my name on that because I wrote for Shazam. I got my name because Mike Gold, who wrote the quiz, I was friends with him, and he decided.
Who's Jay Zilber and Mark Flynn? Are they associates of yours?
What he did was he put three
big fans
in Legion of Superheroes fandom, and that's what he did.
Hey, what do you think of Shazam cartoon show?
Haven't seen it. But anyway, do you have any questions for our guest?
Well, actually, yeah. I was wondering, like, with music, there's always, like, well, not always, but, like, people put clues in record albums. And anybody ever put, like, clues in comic books? You know, like, Paul is dead for the Beatles or, like, stuff like that. Has there ever been, like, some kind of controversy with comic books where there's, like, a series of clues placed within the pages? And
well,
people, like, you know, find out, you know, in-jokes and things like that.
Well, there's not that kind of subtlety in Vitrix for that.
There are in-jokes for people who are, for instance, involved in Celtic movements or who come from a Celtic background, who know those communities. There are certain people who are mentioned, for instance, especially in the episode with Nolwenn, the modern one. Like, for instance, the harp teacher of the person who is... who has stolen the sacred harp that's the treasure that Vitrix is mm-hmm. trying to find, is a real person who actually does teach harp in Brittany.
He is?
Yes. So nobody would know, you know, a normal reader would not pick up on that, but someone who actually is from Brittany and knows Celtic music, for instance, would realize that was a real person.
Oh, well, you're doing a little satire of him.
Yeah. No, it's not a satire. No, it's the teacher of the character.
Okay. Yeah. And then you have at one point when the Viking sorceress is defeated, mm-hmm. She can't imagine how Vitrix can call forth the goddess, because after all, he's a man.
Mm-hmm.
Which I remember you telling me, hearing that line from somebody.
Yes.
And you had to put it in.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess there's little in-jokes like that. But of course, nobody's ever noticed. I've been selling this comic since it came out, and nobody has noticed it. Nobody's mm-hmm. asked me about this.
And, of course, background inkers are always putting their names and their friends' names in the background.
Yeah, don't you, Ed?
In one comic, my name was assigned to every painting in the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
And I know one place to look for things like that is in those little squiggly lines in Doctor Strange's cape. But
like the Ninas in the Hirschfeld drawings?
Anyway, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you would talk about Stonehenge. You were talking about...
Okay,
you know what I mean, that stone...
mm-hmm. kind okay, sure. Kind.
Stonehenge.
And
sure.
Also, am I correct that you love Alley Oop?
Terribly.
Well, that was his magic word that says I can cut him off.
Right.
anyway, well, you know, Stonehenge is pre-Celtic.
Yeah, it's pre-Celtic. It doesn't really have much to do with the Celtic world, except that, of course... the Celts were aware of it. It's a very weird thing out there in the landscape. And
how can you miss it?
Yes, exactly. So all the cultures that came to Britain after it was built noticed it and did something about it or said something about it or made up stories about it.
Or used it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's part of Celtic tradition, even though it was not originated by the Celts. And
did the Celts ever claim it?
No, well, they claimed that Merlin built it. That's part of, you know, native British Celtic tradition, Welsh uh-huh. tradition. It's called Gwaith Marthin or Gwaith Emrys, which means the work of Ambrosius, which was Merlin's given name.
Mm-hmm.
And he's said to have built it magically through levitating the stones, bringing them from the Preseli Hills, where that blue stone comes from.
That's the
from,
best explanation I've ever heard.
And sort of levitating them, bringing them over to Salisbury Plain. So, so they had a story about it, and they claimed to know the origin of it. But, of course, it existed way before the Celts got to Britain.
Mm-hmm. You're on the air.
Yeah, are you the same Ken Gale who was the guitarist for the Ken Gale Trio back in the 70s?
No, but I guess I could claim to be that, right? If people want to claim that they created Stonehenge, so why can't I claim that I was a guitarist? I'm like, you know, no, hardly. 209-2900 is the number here to want to speak to Alexei. Now, I thought it was interesting that when I was reading in the Apple Branch and I learned about the first golden age of the Celts and the second golden age of the Celts, and I'm rereading Viderix, I'm going, no, wait a minute. You've got the first story taking place at the end of the first golden age, mm-hmm. and the second story taking place at the end of the second golden age. Why did you use the endings?
Well, because that's when the characters leave that period to go in their journey through time, right? So it's sort of normal to leave at the end of an episode to start on another uh-huh. episode, basically because they've got nothing left to do there, right? Viderix's world is shattered.
Yeah.
And the same thing happens with Nachton. Pretty much. I mean, you can see that that's the end of the period in which the monastery is going to be safe, and there's a...
And Nolwyn joins them at the when the Bretons manage to keep France from building a nuclear power plant in Brittany.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is the height that France is building nuclear power plants all over the countryside.
Right.
And they didn't do it finally, in the Celtic country.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was kind of neat.
Right? Yeah. And there would have been another episode after that where they go to Northern Ireland and we look at the situation there.
Yeah, it's. Mm-hmm. I hope someday to continue the story. You're on the air.
I have a question about your radio station.
What's that?
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
99.5 FM in New York. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing today?
All right, what's up?
All right, I'm listening to your interview here. It's the first time I've ever listened to this radio station. I'm just curious to know, the character, I hope I get this right, Viderix?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Am I saying that correct?
Yeah.
Is that an actual character from Celtic mythology? Because I've just recently gotten into reading, and I've read a number of books about Lou Lomfada, obviously Louis the Long Arm, Cahulain,
yeah.
otherwise sometimes it's pronounced Cahulain. I was just wondering if the writer took this out of actual Celtic mythologies.
Well, the basic story makes a lot of allusions to Celtic literature and myth. Viderix himself now is a character that is made up by me. His name means Lord of Trees because he's an herbalist. He's someone who was originally trained as a druid to study herbs and their properties. But
and while the Romans are destroying the Druidical College, he's gathering yarrow, which is why he's not in the battle.
Right.
Okay.
And... it's Lou, actually, Lou Lafada, whom you just mentioned, who sends him on his trip through time. So I use the background of Celtic mythology and Celtic literature and Celtic history to propel the story, but the characters are original characters.
You mind if I ask you another question?
Go ahead.
In reference to Celtic mythologies, I was a real big fan of Robert E. Howard.
Yeah.
And in reading a lot of his work, I'm finding out that... he really basically just had a real great smattering of Celtic mythological knowledge to create his Hyborian Age. And I was just wondering what your thoughts on are that, because his claim to fame is basically creating a bunch of characters, for instance, Conan the Barbarian, Cull, and those, Bran MacMorn, Cormac MacArthur. And these are names right out of Celtic mythology. They're ripped right out
a
of
little
Celtic,
bit, yeah.
all the stories I've read. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that Howard read what was published about Celtic mythology around the turn of the century, books by Charles Squire and Rolston, and of course all of the Anglo-Irish revivalist writers like Lady Gregory and Yeats and A.E. who were using earlier Celtic literature for their own stories. And that was basically the notion of Celtic literature and Celtic mythology that he had then. And it was spliced onto the pop culture of the 20s and 30s. And nowadays, of course, I think that people who study Celtic culture and have learned a lot more about the Celts from archaeology, from new texts, from better understanding of what was there, would probably not come to the same conclusions that Howard did. They wouldn't have the same picture of the Celtic world that Howard did.
Right.
But Howard obviously liked a lot of the heroic aspects, like Cahulain, and he integrated episodes from those stories and the way he felt those characters should be into the creation of his own heroic characters.
Yeah,
and one last question. I didn't get the name of the comic book. If I could get the name, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, the name of the comic book is Dangerous Times, and it's published by Evolution Comics. And the address for Evolution Comics is P.O. Box 1028, Gracie Station, New York, New York, 10028.
And the only place to get those these days.
Yeah, or...
show up at a Big Apple Con.
I will be at the Big Apple Con this Friday and Saturday. That's at the basement of the church that's on 9th Avenue between 59th and 60th.
Okay.
I will have both the incomplete set of Dangerous Times and the Apple Branch. I'll have it at my table.
Okay.
And on Saturday, I'll be taping probably at least one interview for later broadcasting on these airwaves.
All right.
Okay.
Well, good luck with the comic.
All right.
I enjoy talking to you.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
Yeah, and also, you're a member of the Celtic League.
Right.
And they're having a conference on May 8th at the Irish Arts Center.
Mm-hmm.
How would people get more information on that? Well, what's the address of the Celtic League?
It's 20185.
It's P.O. Box.
Yes, P.O. Box 20185.
20185.
Yeah, Dag Hammarskjöld Plaza. And that's New York, New York, 10017.
And the Celtic Conference is going to be full day, Saturday, May 8th. The Irish Arts Center is on 51st Street between 11th and 12th Avenue, closer to 12th.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Alexei will be speaking there, and there'll be people talking about Celtic art. There'll be music and everything else.
I think it's 20153, actually.
20153, okay.
Yeah.
So, and the Irish Arts Center, it's in the phone book if you want to look them up. I'll try to have information at that at the Big Apple Con as well.
But, and next week on these airwaves.
Next week is R.C. Harvey and Jeff Lindenblatt will be helping me interview him. We'll be talking about comic strips. R.C. Harvey wrote The Art of the Comic Strip, The Art of the Comic Book, Children of the Yellow Kid. He does a column in the Buyer's Guide and the Comics Journal called Comicopia. He's quite a historian, almost as good as Jeffrey on comic strips. And the week after that, which will be our last week as part of City in Exile, we'll be taking your phone calls.
And next week, back on City in Exile, hopefully the return of the
Poison Darts
crew and our fearless leader.
I should
leader.
Say Poison Darts!
Oh, you did that pretty well. Oh, maybe you can be that as well as the king.
Oh, no.
Well, I don't know. Bob Dole says that you did that pretty darn good. So give me your paw. Anyway, it's just about time now to go to the rebroadcast of this evening's WBAI Evening News, which is coming up in just moments. Time enough for us to say goodbye and hope and that...
Thank you again, Alexei, for being our guest here on Upset.
Hope that you'll keep tuning in to WBAI and tune in next week for more Enough Said and City in Exile. And... I don't know. We'll just let the music go
a
few seconds and then the news.